Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a parable of stewardship as we pick up in Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Jesus speaks on two unpleasant subjects to a lot of people. Not unpleasant to me, but to a lot of people. Talks about hell. That's not unpleasant to me. Not worried about it at all. Now, Jesus is at a supper with the Pharisees. It's on the Sabbath day. And this particular section that we are now in is still in that supper that Jesus was invited to, beginning the 14th chapter, where the Pharisees invited him to the house, set him up with a fellow with a dropsy, and so this whole interchange of thought and all is going on there. At times he is addressing the Pharisees, at times he is addressing his disciples. And at this point, beginning of the 16th chapter, he is now addressing his disciples. And so he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for you may no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord is taking away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I am put out of the stewardship, they will receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much do you owe, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. He said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take your bill and write 80. Now the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends by the use of the unrighteousness of mammon, that when they fail, or that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. So Jesus here gives a parable. It's to his disciples, and it's a parable of stewardship. Now, the thing to notice, first of all, about this steward was that everything he possessed belonged to his master. And in his waste, he was actually wasting his master's goods. In the application of this, of course, God has made us stewards. And everything that we have really belongs to God. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to him. Now, God allows me that privilege and opportunity of overseeing that which belongs to him. But God also holds me responsible as to what I do with it when it is under my care. So, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, everything we have is our Lord's. But I am responsible to him. There is another parable of the steward. And in the other parable, the Lord went away to a far country and left his goods in the hands of his servants. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 4, to another 1. But the same idea is the Lord came and they had to give an accounting of what they had done with what was the Lord's. When you see yourself as a servant of Jesus Christ, then it naturally follows that as his bondslave, everything you possess actually belongs to him. I own nothing of my own. It all is the Lord's. And this particular steward was accused of wasting his goods. And so he was called to give an account. The Bible tells us that one day every one of us are going to stand before the Lord to give an account of the things that we have done while we're in these bodies, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We are also told that we are going to be judged according to our works. And many of the works will be burned by fire, but those that remain we will be rewarded for. So we will all one day give an account to the Lord of our stewardship, how I managed the Lord's properties, how I managed the Lord's resources that he placed at my disposal. I have that responsibility then of proper management whenever God places anything in my power. And so he was called to give an account. Now this particular steward knew that he was in trouble. When the audit was made, the accounting was to be made, he knew that he was guilty of wasting his master's goods. He knew that he was going to lose his job. And so he was concerned because he felt that he was just too frail to dig ditches, and he was ashamed to beg. And then he hit upon an idea, very dishonest, in which he began to call in his master's debtors. And he began summarily to discount their obligations to his master. Now, the master in this case was probably a landlord. And so often, the landlord, in renting out his property, would take, instead of rent, some of the produce from the land. It was very common for the people to pay their rent in wheat that had been produced on the land, or in the oil that had been produced on the land, or in some of the products of the land itself. And this was a very common thing. And so the first one, he brought him in and he said, "How much do you have to pay?" And he says, "Well, I pay 100 measures of oil." And he says, "Here, take down, write 50. And to the one who paid 100 measures of wheat, he said, "Write 80. Now, what he was seeking to do is to make these people obligated to him, so that when he was fired from his job, he would be able to come back to them and sponge off of them for a while because of the favors that he had granted to them in discounting their bills. As he was the steward managing his owner's affairs, he was setting himself up, using this position of authority, using this opportunity that he had to set himself up for the future, which he knew was going to be very grim once he was fired. Because he wasn't a ditch digger and he was ashamed to beg. Up to this point, we can follow the story rather clearly. But at the next scripture, when the Lord commended the unjust steward, that's where the problem arises. Why would he commend the unjust steward? Why would the Lord commend him? Now, I can understand if the Lord said, "Cast that unjust steward out. Put him in the debtor's prison until his obligations have all been taken care of." But the Lord commended him for what? Not for his actions, not for his honesty, but for his wisdom. The wisdom of using his present position to set himself up for that uncertain future that he knew was coming for him. That's what the Lord was commending. Now, as we go to the Proverbs, Solomon said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, or you lazy bum. Learn of his ways, and be wise. Again, he said, there are four things upon the earth that are exceedingly small but exceedingly wise. And among these four things, the ant lays up its meat in the summer. The wisdom of the ant laying up its food supplies during the summer. The ant somehow knows that the weather isn't always going to be this nice. Somehow there's recorded information in that little brain of the ant that the winter is coming, it's going to get cold, it's going to get rainy, and he won't be able to get out and forage for food. Therefore, it is necessary while it is still summer, while he can still get out, to get out and to gather together all of the food that he'll need to survive during the winter season. In other words, take advantage of the present situation to prepare yourself for what you know is coming in the future. Now, this is the wisdom that was manifested by the steward, and that's why he was commended. Because he took advantage of his present situation to help set himself up for what he knew was coming in the future. That is always very wise, but it isn't wisdom that we always follow. We know that one day we are going to die. We know that when we die, we can take nothing with us. We know that any treasure that we lay up in heaven, we have to lay up now. We've got to take advantage of our opportunities now to lay up heavenly treasure. We know that we came into the world naked, we're going out of the world naked. We brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we are going to take nothing out. So if I'm going to set myself up in the heavenly kingdom, I must do it now, and I must take advantage of the opportunities that I have now in order to set myself up for the heavenly kingdom. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying. Make use of the unrighteousness of mammon. Make use of this filthy lucre, this money that God places at your disposal. Make use of it in such a way that you will be reaping eternal benefits from it. Invest it in the things of the kingdom in such a way that when you fail, when you come to the end of the road, you might be received into the everlasting habitations. God, I am certain, keeps a very interesting set of books. Paul the Apostle, when he was writing to the Philippians, thanked them for the gift that they sent to him. He said, not that I particularly needed it, but I desire that fruit might abound to your account. Thank you for what you sent to me. I wasn't particularly in need, but I'm grateful for it because the fruit of my labor, those people that I won to Christ, will abound to your account because of the fact that you supported my ministry there. So money is a tremendous outlet of spiritual power if we use it right. Money can be a blessing, it can be a curse. It all depends on how a person uses it. It can be the closest thing to omnipotence that man possesses, but so often creates impotence. Jesus is warning here against that impotence that money often creates with a person. Make use of the unrighteousness of mammon, so that when you fail, they might receive you into the everlasting kingdoms. There is, to me, one interesting aspect of arriving in heaven, something that you don't hear of much. But I expect to meet a lot of people that I have never seen before, who, though I have never seen them, I am responsible for their being there in the heavenly kingdom. Maybe some native from Africa, when he gets to heaven, will say, now, how is it that I heard the gospel? And God will go through the books and say, well, Actually, that missionary that was out there was supported by Chuck Smith. So when he arrives, that's the one you want to look for. And so this fellow come up to me and say, "Hey, I want to thank you, brother. Oh, I so appreciate what you did." "Well, who are you?" "Oh, man, I was a Ubangi." "But you brought me the gospel." "What do you mean I brought you the gospel? I've never been in Africa." "Oh, well, I checked the records up here, and you were the one that was supporting that missionary over there that brought me to Jesus Christ." How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear except there be a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that carry the gospel of peace." But that part of being sent, and that's where we can come in. Make use of the unrighteousness of mammon, so that when you fail, they might receive you into the everlasting kingdoms. And now the Lord goes on in verse 10 to make the application of the parable as he relates it now to your place in the kingdom of God, when you come into the kingdom of God. If you have been faithful in least, in these little things that God has placed at your disposal, then you will also be faithful in much, in those great things of his kingdom. But if you have been unjust in the least, then you'll be unjust in the greater things. Man, if you're embezzling dollars now, you'll be seeking to embezzle more later, you see. If you're unjust in the little things, if you have a bigger opportunity, you're going to be that much more unjust. If, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, then who is going to commit to your trust the true riches? Now, this unrighteous mammon is not true riches. Moth and rust can corrupt it. The banks can fail. There's just many ways that this unrighteous mammon can suddenly disappear. It's not true riches. The true riches are the things in the kingdom of God. They're the eternal riches. Yet, if you've not been faithful in this unrighteous mammon, then who is going to commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, you see, I'm a steward. Whatever I have belongs to God. It's not mine. And if I'm not faithful in taking care of what belongs to God, then who is going to give me that which is my own? No servant can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve them both. Divided loyalty, it just won't work. You cannot have God and money as your God at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, they were covetous, they loved the money. They heard all of these things that he was saying to his disciples, and they began to deride him. And so he turned on them. Now he's talking to the Pharisees. And he said unto them, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart." There are so many times when a person comes up and tries to justify before me something that they have done. I say, "Hey, man, it's cool. That made a difference. I'm not the one who is going to be your judge. You don't have to justify your case before me. I'm not your judge. God is the one. He knows your heart. He knows what the motive was." And the Pharisees were those who loved to justify themselves before men. But God knows their hearts. "For that which is highly esteemed among men," talking of the Pharisees who were highly esteemed by men, he says, "is an abomination in the sight of God." Men may highly esteem you, but as far as God is concerned, you're an abomination. "The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So up until the time of John, you were under the law, you were under the prophets. Now the kingdom of God. John came preaching what? The kingdom of God, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus preached of the kingdom of God. And so since the coming of John, the kingdom of God has been preached. And every man must press into it. The word press is a intense word in the Greek. It's agonizo, must agonize into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Now, he said, you know, the law was until John. Now the kingdom of God is being preached, but heaven and earth will pass, but not one little part of the law is going to fail. Now, evidently, there was a running battle between the Pharisees and Jesus over the issue of divorce.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 16 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you. May he bring you into a fresh awareness of his presence, and may you experience a fresh work of God within your lives. And may you come into a deeper relationship of love, love for God and love for each other. And especially, may God give you a heart of praise and rejoicing, so that your life might be pleasing to him as you rejoice in the Lord always.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.